I just have to point out that not only do you two both have the same shirts on, but your pockets are buttoned similarly.
Oh, I need to maybe picks up this stuff. He says, "I have the same." Is that an LL Bean or is that
a Patagonia?
Oh, see, he's different. It's different.
Mine's different. It's very, very similar. Are full of events. First tonight, you got Pack IT Pros, 6:30 to 9 p.m. in the reactor. Janelle will be here hosting. On Wednesday the 2nd, we've got the Skype for Business user group. They meet at 2:30 to 6. Come early. The discussions are usually pretty cool, and you get some one-on-one time with the organizer. Then on Thursday, we have an all-day event called the TechNet on Tour. TechNet on Tour is kind of like they're doing road trips, different groups, different speakers talking about different ways to bring IT pro and open source software together. Then this weekend we've got Hack Night from Code Across, so the Civic Hack Group from San Francisco, the SF Tech Brigade, they'll be working out of this space from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a really cool event. Usually there's really cool people showing how you can start engaging with the civic technologies that San Francisco is building out, or different technologies around the world that cities are implementing, and the projects that people build with them. Then on Monday the 7th, we have the Hello World road trip. This is kind of a different event. They have all sorts of people going around the country. In San Francisco, we're going to have Beth Massey, who is a community leader at the .NET Foundation. And she's going to be presenting. Check out the tickets on our website or at hwroadtrip.com. Then we've got the San Francisco Bay Area Azure Meetup Group on the 8th. That's from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then on Wednesday, we've got the San Francisco Data Platform User Group. That is a... Have you met with them before? Bay Area Data User Group. I've never worked with them before, but it's database professionals.
The SQL Server Group?
Could be cool if you're interested in what Microsoft's doing. It's not SQL Server, it just says data platform. But check out that. They're on meetup.com. And then that weekend, we've got a kind of a special event. It's the San Francisco Virtual Reality Hackathon. So all weekend long, Livy Larrickson and Catherine Harris will be here hosting the virtuality hackathon. They have a great website with lots of information. They're going to have prizes. Microsoft's a sponsor. There's still some tickets left. So if you're interested in hacking in virtual reality, you're going to be surrounded by some really smart people. This week we interviewed John Dering and his colleague about what's going on at Cogswell College. Interesting discussion about the future of education and how being in Silicon Valley kind of changes their outlook.
Yeah, I'm Brian Rao, and I work at Cogswell in the marketing department with John.
I'm John Dering, and I'm responsible for the marketing efforts that we have at Cogswell College.
So you guys maybe tell us about Cogswell real quick.
Well, it was founded in 1887. And what we say is...
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco, exactly. Mm-hmm. By a dentist who, in the gold rush, I guess listened to his patients and became one of the first millionaires in San Francisco. But he believed very strongly that you learn best with instruments in your hands. Mm-hmm. And as a dentist, you can understand that. And so he started a high school first. He talked to Stanford about creating a dentistry school at Stanford, but they wanted a theoretical underpinning, an academic environment, and he wasn't having any of that. And so they started a high school, surveying, map making. The women did garment design, garment construction, design, and manufacturing, and office work. In the 90s, we changed to an all-digital environment because Silicon Valley, we had moved down to Sunnyvale at that time. We've just moved to San Jose in a new campus, and we developed a whole curriculum around building games, mm-hmm. about building animated films, mm-hmm. about building apps, and we're finding that students are coming to us when they have a goal, and then we can show them things that they didn't really know while they're getting an accredited four-year degree, bachelor's of science, bachelor's of art, and they're bringing in the physics for a game. That ball needs to drop like a real, the arm needs to move correctly.
Yeah.
And so they get out with a real four-year degree, but also we focus on, really it's an internship while they're in college. They're working on real projects with real clients that are in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And elsewhere. We worked with Corning, for instance, in developing animated media product for them this
yeah.
last year. And the students put that on their portfolio. They get jobs because they have 3 years of industry experience after 4 years of college, so to speak.
Yeah. And so you said the goal, like they come in with a goal. You maybe speak a little more to that.
Well, if you're a high school student,
hmm.
we really look to your intent,
hmm.
right? We want a portfolio of what you've done. If you say you're an artist, let's see it. Software engineer, what have you built? And the idea is there's sort of, I have a Venn diagram of three circles. One is, what does the world need? What do you like? What are you good at?
Hmm.
It's that intersection of those three things. That's your purpose.
Hmm.
And if you can speak to that, we want you.
Hmm.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how do you think Silicon Valley kind of fosters that, or like turned you into the school that you are?
Well, I grew up in Silicon Valley. I went to high school in Los Altos. And, you know, it's been an area of hackers. And Brian can talk to this. He was executive director at Hacker Dojo. And it used to be that every garage, there was an engineer who lived there with his family, and every garage had a workbench
yeah.
and soldering irons and chips and that sort of thing. Now it's all gone into, you know, mobile devices and laptops and workstations. So, you know, you've been seeing this everywhere you go. How would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, what the way I see this is to kind of go back to Cogswell's DNA. The interesting thing about Cogswell is it's an institution that has always existed to help people do things or build things or create things. And when you do that, you end up being an institution that reflects the needs of the time. And so when it started, it was all about cartography and helping develop the physical world. That's what was needed in the Western United States. And those were the relevant skills. And now what's going on in the Bay Area is building tools to help people do things in a digital way.
Yeah.
And so the school has moved into that area. And so if you're an institution that exists to help people build things and do things, and you're in Silicon Valley, it's pretty clear what type of institution you're going to be.
Yeah.
And so the impact that Silicon Valley has had on Cogswell is probably profound. And I think the impact that Cogswell's had on Silicon Valley is also probably profound.
Mm.
But there is this dialectic between the two. As the students learn how to create figures in animation or develop the code that is used to create those figures in animation,
yeah.
The Silicon Valley has had an impact on the school.
Oh, and can I sort of spread some news that we can't speak about until March 29th?
Sure, I was going to publish it today, so maybe we could.
Well, okay.
Check if we come back to Cogswell College on January 29th.
Oh, March 29th.
March 29th.
Yeah.
We got
our game program is being recognized as one of the top game programs in the country by a leading source of looking at those things. And I think, you know, the elements of a game, their story is a big part of it.
Yeah.
And character
is
a big part of it. And also cultural aspects of empowerment and liberation and conflict and whatever are a big part of it. And so sometimes we get caught up in the technology when in reality we're talking about growing up.
Yeah.
And we're calling it, it's higher education. And higher education is really a process. It's not a place. You don't go there for higher education. It's something you do and you experience by doing. So we found out that our students go on to do things that may not exactly be what they learned in college, which is not unusual.
Right.
You know, you go to college in anthropology, end up being a banker, right?
Right.
In our case, we've got people who might have been an artist, but they end up being a user experience designer.
Yeah.
Or they might be a customer service rep.
Yeah.
Or they might be a developer relations specialist.
Yeah.
Or they might be a product manager or a marketing person. And what we find is their value is they have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to understand who they are, what their perspective is, and how what they're hearing might match with something they know,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're great on teams. We really focus on team learning, and so the idea that you can identify through signals what might be needed so that you can be an essential part of that team is as important as what you learn in the classroom
right.
from a physics, chemistry, whatever. We have those courses, but it's this mixing with other students to form alliances, to embark on missions,
yeah.
to accomplish things, that you're able to fail. You're able to try things out. You're able to, some people, they wear funny hats, you know?
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But there's sort of a process that they get really excited in the first year. These are all people like me. They're all excited. You
yeah.
know, they talk about what they really love. They do crazy things. Sophomore year is the same, but now they have more skills because mm-hmm. they've had their shells cracked a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't commercial grade. If you want to get commercial grade, you got to work at this.
Yeah.
Start seeing I'm not as good as this person in this place. I want to be better in this place. Oh, I have something no one else seems to have,
yeah.
right? And then they can start honing what that is. Third year, there's this, oh my God, where does this fit in the outer world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, you start saying, I need to find out what I do that can make sense with what the world needs out there.
Yeah.
And that process is full of surprises because there are jobs that are going wanting, millions of them, and the people coming out of college aren't prepared to take those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are finding, one guy just got into creating animated explosions, atmospheric physics,
yeah.
right? So water, thermo, and atmospheric,
yeah.
and his, you know, demo reel is just fabulous,
yeah.
and he's picked up right away. So each of these students then take that special interest into their courses,
mm-hmm.
and the faculty sort of works around that to
yeah.
say, okay, you've got that role. Sometimes we pull them out of that role. You got to do documentation or whatever. But it's so that they can move that role in the future,
mm-hmm.
test it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come out, they're in a place where they can be effective.
Yeah. So you guys have kind of been in a constant state of change in the last couple weeks or couple months. How do you guys see yourself changing in the future?
You want to talk about, we moved into a new campus.
New campus, yeah.
And I'll just say it. We moved in and we put all the classrooms in and everything, and it felt like a hospital. You know, it's like there's no mojo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Brian actually led the charge, and you might want to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, I think part of this is just cultural and like demographic, generational maybe, but people used to work in their own offices or their own cubes and they had their own space and their own stuff and their own thing going on. And when you, I guess, have your own little world, it's like isolating and boring and maybe not very interesting. And there's a different way of doing things, which is where things are more open and more collaborative and focus more on the group. And so we've worked hard on opening spaces up so they're more like the latter than the former. And so both for students actually, but also for faculty and administration.
Yeah.
We have found, like I think a lot of other organizations have, that when people are working together, more things happen. And you end up with a better product and a better result. And the same is true for the students. And so, I mean, that's what we've done. We've gone through the campus, and where possible, we have knocked down walls and knock down divisions,
yeah,
and knock down cubes, and little individual isolated islands are now big open spaces with like beanbags and comfortable lounging chairs and places where you want to hang out and just spend time,
yeah,
with other people.
Yeah.
And so we've worked hard to make it very comfortable and very inviting. And great place to
be. That relationship between the students and the teachers and such an open environment sounds very appealing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little different. It probably is a little bit different.
Well,
and like,
explain the parking lot. I mean, our kids never leave.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't leave campus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy place. And the other thing about Cogswell is a lot of the students who have interest in animation or digital art, they need very specific tools.
Yeah.
And these tools are like extremely expensive.
Right.
And so they spend a lot of time obviously outside of the classroom working on their projects. Mm-hmm. In which case they need these tools that are on campus. But yeah, it's a busy campus.
Yeah.
Students are there all the time.
And you bring up that not only do they learn their tools and their part, but we have the word pipeline. The idea of where that part fits in an overall project pipeline.
Yeah.
So these are composite corporate grade projects that can last 2.5 years.
Wow.
Like a video game starts with conceptualizing characters and action and then documenting the whole thing. Well, the whole class works on that.
Yeah.
But then it breaks out into some digital artists, some riggers, some animators, and then coders who are,
right,
doing a game engine,
right,
a level engine, points engine, physics engine.
Yeah.
You have a number of elements that all have to come together, and you're going using GitHub or SVN, 10,000 commits, whatever it is, and then you're deploying into the game store, app store, you know, and you can download it and play.
Yeah.
And that's the level at which you're going to be asked to do things in the real world,
right,
where you're going to have to tie it up because you're going to be pulled to another course next, mm-hmm, semester, someone else is going to pick it up, or you're going to have to now supervise a team and bring them up to speed on what you did last semester as they're your new team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing, both of the tool set and of the mixing of the group across art, engineering, and development means that they have to be there.
Yeah.
So it's sort,
yeah,
of funny that even though we got a global network and, you know, the learning is becoming more local.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the bandwidth between people is being expanded. They're very honest with each other and collaborative. They're not isolated in the cubicles that you're talking about or the lecture halls that you see in a traditional college. Mm. They're really figuring things out all the time.
Yeah.
And they have to do it on their own. And then the faculty is there when they have questions. And what ends up happening, and I've heard this from advisory board members, they're saying, why is it that every time I see another Cogswell person, they're so articulate? And, well, that's why.
Yeah. So what role does technology play at your school?
You want me to tackle that?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the reality is, if you look at the portfolios that students have that graduate from Cogswell, even if you don't graduate, just the portfolio of any student, that portfolio couldn't exist without a computer.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fair argument that technology is as fundamental to the student experience at Cogswell as it would be to the student experience anywhere.
Right.
Like literally, if you were to pull the plug and there was no electricity and no battery, there would be no learning,
right,
at Cogswell, or there'd be no projects.
Right.
There is this component where it is an extraordinarily collaborative environment,
mm,
which is amazing. I mean, sometimes I think about like what Marissa Mayer did at Yahoo, requiring everybody to come in,
yeah,
and it makes so much sense to me because when you're building a project and you're working with 10 or 20 other people and you can't do your job without interfacing with them and,
yeah,
they are also doing their job, it requires kind of like immediate proximity.
Right.
So there is this very human component,
right.
But the very human component does rely on this digital yeah. aspect or this computer aspect. And so, yeah, I mean, technology has an extraordinary impact on what happens there
yeah.
In terms of like raw computing power, hardware, software. Obviously, like advancements in the cloud are important too.
Right.
In fact, do you want to talk about what we're working on with putting stuff in the cloud? And
well, we have one project that is called Project Avatara,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially a downloadable set of objects. Now, these objects are actually animatable figures,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're built in fully articulated form,
okay.
which means technically they're rigged. We
okay.
call them rigs.
Yeah.
And a rig is different than a 3D model in that it has the skeletal structure and the muscular structure underneath that allows you to manipulate it as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to put the numbers in to make something move, and it looks like it moves like a real joint rather than not. So we have Henry, who's named after Henry Cogswell. We have Caroline, named after Carolyn Cogswell, who are the founders. And we have a dragon, which is our mascot. And we had somebody at an open house with her mother last weekend, and she came in, and I asked her, she was very articulate, and I asked her, how did you find out about Cogswell? Where are you from? She's from Sacramento. How did you find out about Cogswell? She said, well, in our animation class, we needed rigs. And so the professor said, search the internet
yeah.
for rigs that are free.
Yeah.
And the Cogswell rigs are the best ones out there.
Huh.
So that makes us start thinking about education in a different way.
Right.
Our students are
right.
creating tools for other students.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what we can do can help others, and we expect other people are going to start doing the same kind of thing, and we're looking forward to other colleges to be doing our kinds of learning.
Yeah.
Because true collaboration then can go distance.
Right.
But it's got to start at the level that we're talking about. The connective tissue has to be so intense
yeah.
at a local level. I mean, the way you lose money on an engineering project is you build the wrong thing.
Hmm.
That's it,
right?
And so prototyping something, sketching something as fast as you can is the way to get it on the table,
right?
And then get feedback.
Right.
And then storyboard it.
Right.
Not just one picture.
Right.
Alfred Hitchcock was the guy who really brought storyboarding to Hollywood. I don't know if people know that, but he was an artist.
Yeah.
He drew out every scene.
Yeah.
So all those wonderful lighting and things in his films, he had drawn those. And then he had people draw them for him, of course. But the point is, if I'm a studio boss and I'm looking at my dollars being spent, he's not saying, let's try another take. He's saying, give me that.
Mm.
And so they do that, they move on.
Mm.
He's cheaper.
Right.
So they give him the next job.
Right.
So you see his body of work growing, whereas other directors, you know, what technology are they bringing
right.
to the table? Mm. One other thing about technology.
Well, so what I hear there is that design is becoming increasingly important.
Mm.
I think as products become more sophisticated, design is increasingly important, not only in like the user experience aspect, but also in making sure that what is being created is the right thing that's being created.
Yeah.
And Cogswell students are particularly adept and conversant in the difference between good and bad design.
Yeah.
They're specialists in that.
Yeah.
So frankly, they can save a lot of money in the process of building products.
When I was there for the Global Game Jam, there was kind of this very clear kind of context for design almost. Like it seemed like people were very focused on creating things that made sense and worked well, and the students really cared about something becoming usable at a very just kind of like deeply rooted level to all of their expressions. Like all of their discussions, I would walk in and they would be talking about how this should go and this should go, and they just all had like very, I don't know, they all wanted design to be a big part of how the game was made. It's very impressive, I thought it was cool.
Well, and I remember the final presentation, and we had what? Our total student body is 600 and something people, and there were 30 something of them in that global game jam across, what, seven teams?
Yeah.
And all of them had product to show.
Yeah. They all showed something they made.
And all of them worked.
Yeah.
You know, some of them were still a little sketchy and whatever, but you could see the thought behind how would that feel and be.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an exercise.
Right.
It was birthing. It was bringing things to the world.
Yeah.
And they take that very seriously.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Probably wrap it up. Do you guys have any book recommendations, resource recommendations, movie recommendations?
We have a board member that is, I think you just search for John C. Lee Brown. Look at his work on learning, particularly group learning and education. He's written a book called The New Culture of Learning. And it's really about an organic process.
Yeah.
And I think of him as oxygen. He helps us all breathe freely.
Mm.
And I think that freedom and that safety to really imagine things and to try things out is something that's at the core of the whole process.
Mm.
And that's what is there at Cogswell, and he was the guy who came in when we moved into our thing, and he walked around, he says, you've lost your mojo, you've got to change this. So it's not a nice thing, it's an essential thing.
Mm.
And so I would recommend, he gave the commencement address at the Arizona State University last spring. It's on his website. I'd listen to that as a recommendation to anybody who's interested in thinking of things this way.
Okay, cool. Anything in mind?
I was gonna mention the same thing. So
yeah, cool. Any good movies you saw recently?
I saw Spotlight.
Oh yeah.
It has nothing to do with exactly what we're talking about, but
I saw The Big Short.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, once again, humans are more empowered than ever before to make a difference, and I think that movie sort of shows it. And I think we owe it to our children to make use of the tools we have.
Yeah.
And really think about what you're doing
mm.
because you're going to need it.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was really nice talking to you guys.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah.
It's
a pleasure.
Being here.
Great.